Yeah, it's like, ha! We're all furries now.
Hello and welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I think that the hottest Animal Crossing villager is Raymond, for sure.
Oof.
Wow.
The very basic answer. I'm Jeff, and I think the hottest Animal Crossing villager is Apollo.
Oh.
Apollo?
Yeah.
He's a sexy, broad-shouldered eagle.
Yeah. Mm. People really loved him when, in the New Horizons art, he had, like, a leather jacket on, and people were very into that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tori, the Animal Crossing the hottest correspondent. And I think the hottest Animal Crossing villager is Wolfgang. I love Ooh. A mean
oh,
boy.
Okay.
As my proclivity towards wolfmen, I guess. Yes. Immediately revealed.
I was afraid to pick a wolf character because I was like, is this too
it's
basic
too
for
easy.
A Beastars
yeah,
episode?
Yeah, it is. But Apollo's good. Apollo's very good. People do find him very horny.
Oh my God.
I also realized when I was looking through the list and I picked out my favorite, that like they were all cranky mood types.
Yes! So. All of mine are cranky or jocks.
That's a mood.
Oh my gosh. Well, Tori, thank you for coming on our podcast to talk about Beastars.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I've been screaming about Beastars for months and no one believed me.
That's true. I also didn't believe you.
So for anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast before, we look at a new anime in the currently airing anime season each week and then decide if we love it enough to recommend to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. And then if we decide that we love it, then we promise to give you a review of it by the end of the season. And this was the only show this season that we actually ended up loving. So here's the review. The only good show of winter 2020.
Yes.
Damn. Wow.
That was actually fall 2019.
Yes.
Yeah.
So today we are reviewing the first season of Beastars, and I guess I should emphasize that this is only the first season. There has been a second season announced, but Ooh. I don't think there's any timeline, except maybe 2021, maybe?
Yeah, I think Orange tweeted something to that effect, that it was 2021, but I could also be completely out of my gourd.
That sounds familiar. It's probably right.
Yeah. We're just willing it into existence.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to our preview episode about Beastars is based on a manga by Paro Itagaki. It is animated by Studio Orange, who is famous for really good 3D CGI animation. Mm. And we talked in our preview episode about, Annie and I talked about our history with Land of Lustrous. Tori, what's your experience with Land of Lustrous? Did you watch it?
I did not, actually.
Oh.
I've heard really great things, but I remember when it came out, I was like very deep into Steven Universe, and everyone was like, oh, just Steven Universe the anime. So I was like, okay, cool, I'll get around to it, and I just never did. I think it being on Amazon really just did it not a lot of favors, because for the longest time couldn't cast Amazon. I was like, I'm not going to sit on my laptop and watch anime. But I mean, this is like Beastars is gorgeous, and I've heard Land of the Lustrous is also gorgeous, so maybe I'll finally get around to it.
I think Land of Lustrous, it was like gorgeous in a lot of ways, but also like, okay, they found a good use for kind of stilted 3D animation. But this, by after a couple episodes, I was like, this is not stilted at all. Like, this is so expressive. Like, they Tori, tell us, what's the show about? What's Beastars about?
Okay, Beastars is about Legoshi, a wolf boy who goes to church and academy. It's a world where animals are, what's the right word? They're like anthropomorphic. There are no humans. Everyone's an animal. And there's this kind of divide between the carnivores and the herbivores. But they have come to live in kind of like peaceful. And it's Legoshi dealing with essentially like his burgeoning bloodlust and reconciling that with being very horny for a girl, Rabbit. It's a show about growing up, being horny, and maybe eating your classmates.
I love this synopsis.
Which are things we can all relate
to. Yeah, you know, the typical growing up. Everyone remembers that Home Improvement episode where Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like, viciously mauls a classmate, all that kind of stuff. Jonathan Taylor Thomas would have played... he would have played Jack in like the 90s.
Yeah, he would have for sure been Jack.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My fan cast of Beastars from the 1990s. We're off to a great start.
Yes, a good start about Beastars.
Jack, I feel bad. I can never remember Jack's name.
It's the easiest one. It's Jack.
I was just like, oh, it's good boy.
Yeah, it's the best boy. They're all the best boys. I cannot wait for Jack's backstory to like get animated. I love him so much.
Ooh. Oh yeah. So Tori, what's your experience with the manga? How much have you read?
Yeah, I'm current on Beastars. It's I could not help myself. But I, of course, support the official release. And I feel like the manga right now is from, we're recording this April 6th. We just released volume 5, which is about what the anime covers. So yeah. All the future volumes will be past the anime. So I know a bit about Beastars beyond the anime. Mm-hmm. And I read the manga first, like back when it came out last year, the English release. So I've been looking forward to this. And for the longest time, I couldn't convince anyone else to read it because they were like, sure looks a lot like corny animals. I was like, well, you're not wrong. Because that is accurate. But yeah, like the manga is really gorgeous, and I feel like they captured a lot of the stylism of, you know, Itagaki sensei's drawings, like these very emotive animals, which I feel like you don't typically see. Even, you know, it's always compared to Zootopia, but I feel like the expressiveness of the models and like the characters themselves, they do a lot both in the medium and like in the manga. So it feels very much like, you know, your typical anime, except everyone has, you know, tails and talks about producing eggs.
That was really cute, actually. I loved that.
I love Beastars, and I'm so excited other people really like it because now I finally have people to talk to about it.
Yeah, you feel validated that mm-hmm. everyone's like, you're right, Tori, yeah, this was good.
We're all furries now.
Yeah, I heard so much hype about the manga, and I kind of was like, there's no way the anime can actually live up to that hype. Mm-hmm. But it did, and maybe even exceeded it. So. Woo. Actually, wait, Tori, what do you think now that you've seen the first season of the anime and have read a bunch of the manga, like, which one do you prefer?
Oh, that's really tough because I like the manga really goes some really interesting places. And of course, you get like the added bonus of, you know, more internal like monologues from Legoshi, and you get to see a little bit more of his perspective. But I think the visuals in the anime are really gorgeous. It's so hard. I feel like I prefer them both for different things because the anime's music, I think, is impeccable for like the content. But I can literally just sit here and talk about how much I really like Beastars. I don't know how long your podcast typically goes, but I'll talk your ears off.
Great. It's 8 hours long, so.
Yeah. It's just me watching all the episodes of Beastars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. I feel like I'll say manga just because I know that like the manga is obviously, you know, incredible. And I think the anime will hopefully grow to those heights as it like covers the material. It's really hard to judge based off of, you know, one season when there's like 100 chapters or something of the manga currently. Mm-hmm. So.
And Annie, I remember in our preview when you had watched past episode 3, but how much had you watched at that time?
Like 5 or 6, I think.
Okay, so now that you've finished it, what are your impressions? Like, how have your thoughts changed? And do you still prefer the anime over the manga?
Okay, I think I do still prefer the anime over the manga, but there are a couple scenes in particular I liked better in the manga. So, yes. So if you didn't watch the show, maybe stop listening from here on out because I'm going to mention those scenes.
Yeah, let's go into Let's before we do our spoiler break, I guess we should just say like Annie and I, the main hosts.
That's us.
What's our verdict? Are we loving it or weaving it? And then we can change our opinion by the end.
We love it. I love it.
Yeah, I still love it. It's there. It's done.
It's my favorite.
That's our review. We're done.
That's our review. We're done. Yeah. Podcast over. Wow. Spoiler time.
So quick.
Wait. So do we still? So we love it. Would we genuinely recommend it to everyone? Are there any caveats?
Oh no, absolutely. I would not recommend it to everyone.
What?
I feel like give it the first 2 episodes, and if it doesn't like hook you, I would feel fine telling someone to drop it. Because I think it is one of those series that, you know, if you're not into the initial like conflict and conceit, you're kind of gonna end up hating it because everyone talks about how great it is. and I feel like that can be a detriment to some people's experience, because they're like, well, why don't I like it? Why don't I see it? Like, I don't understand why it's so popular. That's like, if it doesn't jive with you, like if you can't get past like the animation, or, you know, you can't get past the, you know, the anthropomorphic animals, then it's like, don't like kill yourself for it. Like, in that case, I would say almost read it, just because you can take your time with it more. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah.
No, I think that's usually true for manga. Like, you can either take it slower or faster depending on your pace. Mm-hmm. And I do think people who are turned off by the anthropomorphic angle of it, and you're just like, ew, horny furries, I'm not that mm-hmm. into that, should give it a shot still, and should try a couple episodes, and you will probably be surprised. And if you're not, mm-hmm. then okay, I can't predict how you're gonna react. So mm-hmm. sorry.
Everyone just be a furry now. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, you will be after you watch it. That's just, it's a fact.
Yeah. So strap in. Okay. I love the show.
Okay. So we're going past the spoiler break.
Yes. Mm. Spoilers. Okay. Go away if you don't want to know.
Yeah, go watch the whole show. Come join us in the furry den. Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, gross.
All right. So here, okay. So Jeff, you have not read the manga.
No, I've not read any manga.
At all. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I did buy a random volume of, what is it in, Weekly Shonen Champion or something?
Yeah.
To get bookmarks like 3 years ago, but that's, that's all I've seen.
Okay. Well, so I was going to talk about how there was some scenes that I really enjoyed the animation of. That weren't the 3D, like when Haru was having like her dream sequence of in the forest, and it was gorgeous, and I really mm-hmm. loved that. But there was the one with Louis when he was a child in his flashback, and that was also not 3D, mm-hmm. and like he was thrown into like the waiting room in like the black market, mm-hmm. and that was in a different art style, which was cool, but I actually really preferred how it was in the manga, because it wasn't like a different art style, it was like still that mm-hmm. same consistent art style, and for me, it took away like how real it was for him.
Yeah.
It like mm-hmm. kind of made it like a dream, mm-hmm. and I was like, no, like this is his trauma. Like, it mm-hmm. really happened. And I was kind of bothered that they made it a different art style, but
yeah.
it was still pretty.
Yeah, the art style, it felt like, I think the impression it was like, it didn't make me feel like dream. It felt like a fable or like mm-hmm. a story or a legend or something. And it was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it takes you away from it being like his lived experience.
Yeah. Hmm. And it was very tonally different than the other two. Like, I mean, Legoshi's dream sequences are all kind of like crazy, and you know, the escalator scene, and mm-hmm. you know, his internal kind of like thought processes, versus like Haru's, which are, you know, this more dreamlike kind of wistful. And then, yeah, I would agree. It felt kind of like a fable, or almost like unreliable in a sense. It wasn't as grounded for what is, you know, a very important part of this character's like backstory and, you know, rationale for his, you know, kind of character trajectory and like why he thinks the way he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I also kind of want to add that I thought the, I think the whole thing was in this style, but the later part of that sequence when, like, after he's been, I guess, adopted, and that's a proper term, because he is adopted, right? Like,
yeah,
he's mm-hmm. been formally adopted. I did not understand what happened after that, where his adopted father, like, puts him into a pit with carnivores and gives him a knife and mm-hmm. then says, like, cut your way out or something. And then it was like, is he supposed to fight the carnivores? Oh, no, he's taking the knife to himself. I was confused.
Yeah. It was more clear in the manga.
Yeah, it's okay. Definitely. And they didn't really give it a lot of room to breathe. It felt kind of like that sequence was uncomfortable to animate because they don't stay on it very long at all. Mm-hmm. At least, like, from what I'm remembering.
Like, I got the gist of it, that, like, he's put in some situation, he chooses to, like, sacrifice himself over being consumed by carnivores, but I just did not get why he was being thrown into it, or, like, if I was supposed to get a reading on, you know, like, how abusive his adoptive father is, I don't know what to have gotten from that.
Okay, so I think in the manga, it is much longer and has a lot more explained, I think he is like arguing with his adoptive father in that scene. Like not arguing because he can't like speak, but he's like being like resistant to him, like taking him away. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fine, here you go. It like throws him in. He's like, fight your way out, prove like that you're a survivor.
Oh, yeah. So that's not like That's not like after he's been adopted. That's like still in the cage.
They're still in the cage.
It's like a test. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like in an elevator taking him out of the black market. And he's like, here, like, basically like prove yourself. And he throws him to the waiting room of people who are going to buy him or his friends. And he said, like, fight your way out. And then when he tries to kill himself instead, the dad's like impressed. And then he's like, great, you can be my son. I was like, oh, all right. But it shows he has resolve, I guess.
Okay. But, so yeah, it is a complex. I don't know what to think about his father then. Because it's not quite as bad as, like, after he's been adopted, he's just putting him in another situation like that, which is what I thought it was, so.
Yeah, it's very, their relationship, you know, they didn't touch on it too much in the anime, yet, you know, obviously Lewis has a much larger character arc after, you know, season one kind of focuses on Legoshi a lot more. But his relationship with his dad is this kind of, like, gray area where it's like, well, they're both kind of not great to each other, but they're both, like, they don't communicate well. They have, like, a mutual respect, but they'll never tell each other that. And it's like, oh, great, you know, a teenage boy and his father. But also, you know, he's, like, the successor to this giant family dynasty and also has, like, trauma from, you know, being essentially, like, born to be sold. It's wild.
Yeah.
Beastars is crazy.
Well, on the topic of Louis, I wanted to bring up that in our preview episode, and this is really just a, you know, like, because of what happens in this first three episodes, we don't really see much of his character. I totally thought from this first three episodes that he was, like, the villain, you know, that he was, like, the star of the school who, like, actually is evil inside. And when Annie was like, oh no, he's actually really sweet. And like, oh my God, Legoshi Louis, oh my God. I was like, I don't see it, but I can see it. It was like almost immediately after episode three, like, I feel like as soon as episode four hit, it was like, I was just, oh, everything I thought about Louis was wrong.
Thank you.
You guys keep calling him Louis, and it's like wilding me out because I'm so used to seeing Louis.
Yeah. I said Louis. Jeff yelled at me. The anime says Rui.
Yeah.
So.
No, okay. So what they're saying they say in both English and Japanese is, well, in Japanese they're saying Rui, and in English they're saying Louis. So, like, even though they write it as Louis or Ruis, they're always saying Louis. So
I haven't watched it in a couple weeks.
So did you binge it as soon as it came out?
Oh, absolutely. And I did wait for it to come on Netflix. I'm not that evil. I was like, damn it, Netflix made me wait an extra like 6 months. But I did wait, and I binged it all in like one night.
I do want to add that I guess this isn't like inherent to being on Netflix, but like one of the cool things about it being on Netflix is that the dub was really good.
Yeah.
I watched it mostly dubbed, and it was really great.
I really do. You know, obviously every platform like has its own problems. I didn't love waiting 6 months, but I do think it's really cool that they dub it in, you know, so many different languages at once. So basically, like, everyone gets to experience it at the same time, which is nice and cool. It definitely feels like there's more opportunity for a larger conversation.
Yeah, I feel like with Netflix's model, it's like stuff either, like, it's not evenly distributed. It's like the stuff that is going to blow up has a bigger potential to blow up. And the stuff that isn't going to blow up will just be forgotten about. And I think this one kind of crossed the line into, like, everyone talking about it. But it already feels like we're a couple weeks out.
It already feels like it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, it already feels like no one's talking about it anymore, which is sad.
Yeah, we had, like, a good 2 weeks, and that was it.
But at least if there's going to be more seasons, like...
Oh, yeah.
If it could blow up again repeatedly, and then... So there's potential for that.
I'm really glad they ended with, like, that stinger for season two. Like, A, it was really creepy, which is good because, like, it gets... so much darker and like does genuinely kind of become like a murder mystery, which is really neat and cool.
That's cool because I was, one of the things I was thrown off by first was that like it opens with the premise of a murder mystery, and then I was like, no one's treating it like a murder mystery.
Yeah,
like,
no,
everyone's treating like it's okay
because we have to be horny first, Jeff.
Right, everyone's too horny for that.
I have to assume that like that's the main conflict of season two will be the mystery accent, like who killed Tem, which is really cool. And I'm really glad that they ended it that way, both to make my heart like, oh, good, there is already going to be a season two. And I think it's a nice hook for people, you know, because it is kind of a contained season one, but it's nice to, you know, give people a hint that there's more to go and that they should read the manga so they know what's going to happen.
Can I just say this show, Beastars, is everything that Riverdale wants to be, but executed
oh my
well.
God. Oh, I hate that comparison, but that is very accurate. Oh, no. When is Beastars going to do a Heather's episode?
Oh, God.
Yeah, we need musical episodes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
That's terrible. Wow. That's a good comparison.
Oh, can I talk about how I love Goheen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Panda.
Panda.
He's
Panda Man.
So good.
Oh, he's great.
I thought you were
going to
say so hot.
Well, I mean, also.
Yeah.
Also, yes.
Very cool. Very great. Super hot.
What? Do you not think he's hot, Jeff? Is
no,
that it,
no?
He's a literal bear.
I agree.
He was so good. And I was kind of, I was confused by this in the manga, but I'm still confused. He had that wall of pictures of like patients that had mm-hmm. like gone bad, and he put Legoshi up there. And I'm like, wait, he hasn't done anything bad yet. Take him down.
I think it's kind of, it's like a wall of shame thing where you have to like prove that you're not bad. So he takes it off. It's like a bounty board sort of.
All right. All right. I still loved him.
I'm kind of my manga knowledge. Well, I'm silly. No, Gohan is super neat.
No, it was great. There was one scene again that I liked better in the manga than in the anime, but it was still fine. When Gohan and Legoshi are fighting the Shishigumi, they are out in the rain. Mm-hmm. And I think in the manga, I think I'm right. Legoshi takes his shirt off then, and so he's in the tank top. And so he's like fighting in the rain in just a tank top, and I was like, oh, now I'm a furry. Like, that was the moment that changed me. And then in the anime, I was like, excuse me, where's my shirtless rain fight scene?
Who's my fan service?
Yeah. I was a little upset, but I moved on, and he took his shirt off eventually, so thank God.
Wow. Cute. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. But wow, love that. And okay, another thing that like blew my mind in the manga, and I was like, this is out of left field, but the scene in the end with Louis and the gun, mm-hmm. I was completely lost my mind. I was like, what is happening?
They cut out Louis with a gun. There was another instance. Louis has a gun during the play. And my friend texted me when she was watching it. She was like, did they cut out? So when Louis goes to talk to Bill before they perform the play, like when Bill is filling in for him, I believe this is the right like timeline. Louis like puts a gun to his head. It's wild.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do it in the anime. And it like the image, we sent it back and forth and like memed the crap out of it. And then it wasn't in the anime. And we're like, no, where's Louis with a gun?
And then they brought out that gun.
Yeah.
They had to.
I do want to... I feel bad. What I really liked about the series was the high school drama. And I did not love the swift left turn into Yakuza fight battle.
Yeah.
Like full on action. I don't even know what action movie kind of thing. Like, this is absurd. Oh my God.
I was into it. I was fully into it.
The gun is like a different art style too. So it's like,
oh yeah. It's literally, it's like a 3D gun.
Oh. Yeah. I wasn't really, you know what? For once, I wasn't super bothered by them doing a bunch of different art styles in a show. Like, Orange did a good job. I'm doing it anyways. Sorry, Jeff. So, quick, like, say you sidebar. the voice of Gohan, I was like, oh, who's that? I love him. And it's Akio Otsuka, who is All for One in My Hero Academia. But he's also, like, Blackbeard in One Piece. Recently, he's... Dr. Jukai in Dororo, but he's like plays a bunch of like kind of badass old men and villains.
Yeah, I was about to
say. No, he has like a much longer like list of characters, but those are just the ones that I'm thinking of like right now. I love him.
Well, my dub voice actor corner, I still find it very it's very weird hearing the voice of Kari from Digimon as Sexy Haru. I'm like, it's very weird.
Then don't listen.
Coward. Because
she's going to get sexy.
But she was really good. Like, she, like, with the quiver in her voice at various points, and it was really well executed. Mm. But I was like, Kari, no. Save yourself for TK.
No.
I feel like in our preview episode, we talked a bunch about, like, whether the show is, like, like, I thought it was really interesting because it was like thought provoking and like had all these different layered metaphors and like, you know, like unlike Zootopia, which was like all hedged into a race metaphor, it was like this show had so many different kind of metaphors. And now that I've seen a bigger chunk of it, because I still wouldn't call this the entire series, it's, you know, just the beginning of the story. My take on it now is that like, I don't really think of it as being metaphors anymore. Like,
yeah,
like I think Zootopia was like, we want to tell a story about race, so we're going to use animals to do that. Whereas this feels so much more like the author sat down and like wanted to tell a high school story with animals and like just follow the logical conclusions of a bunch of their characteristics and just wrote the characters really well and just fleshed out all of their emotions and their natural consequences of the different attributes of their species in a way that like, the thing that's really surprising is that like, we joked before about like, oh my God, this show is so relatable because it's like about wanting to eat your classmate. And like, aside from things like that, that are obviously like, obviously have no direct analog, so much of the show is so relatable. And it's not like because it's one giant metaphor. It's because it's like these characters with these otherworldly and fantastical bodies still are going through such relatable things. Like even that, I was talking with my boyfriend about this a bunch. They're like the, like one of Legoshi's primary like things driving him throughout the season is trying to decide if he wants to devour Haru or have sex with her. And that conflict, like, there's no direct analog. Like as humans, we don't want to, like, it's not like, do I want to have sex with that person or murder them? Like, but that feeling though of like not knowing whether you want one thing or another thing that's close, that's very similar, like there are lots of things that can feel very relatable about that conflict, even though it's not a direct metaphor, you know?
I was gonna say, like, I completely agree where, like, you know, boiling it down to, oh, it's, you know, Zootopia, but like with sex, it's like a big disservice because it is, you know, it, instead of being, you know, a one-to-one analog and using predator and prey as, you know, a race allegory, Beastars, I think, does a really good job of creating an actual world and like setting the stakes of that world so that, you know, a character's conflict being, well, my body wants to like eat the girl that I'm in love with, question mark, and like and you know, other characters understand that, like, it's, he's not a freak for that, you know, being the case, as it would be if he was a human, but it's like in this world it's like, oh, you know, all carnivores go through that, and it's, you know, in a sense it's like carnivore puberty where it's like, oh, you got to have your first taste of herbivore flesh and stuff like that. And I think it does a really good job of, you know, setting up the world in a way that is both relatable and fantastic, you know, like you said.
And I did
I'm gonna toot my own horn here, I did name my Animal Crossing island Cherryton, and weirdly enough, I have almost like a town that has a lot of analogs for characters. Like, I have a smug deer, and I have a jock panda, and the only two, I don't have a bunny and I don't have a wolf. And I'm like, this sucks. Come on. I mean, my town tune, the little like opening is very cute.
So good.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. Wait, okay. I was thinking about it again. And back to Louis with a gun.
That
scene at the end when the other lions come in and he's like, hey, I'm item number four, go ahead and eat me. And then he's like laughing maniacally. I was like, not to be horny, but like, this is hot.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I love it.
He's like losing his mind. And as someone who like hasn't read past where the manga, like where the manga ended in the anime, so like you got a little more at the end, and like him being missing isn't touched upon in the manga at the end of volume 5. So like for me, having him be missing in the end of the anime, I was like, oh god, what happened? I thought that was just like a hot cool thing and like he was gonna be okay, but now I'm a little scared.
I think it's really, I'm really excited by like dramatically, I'm like, oh my god, what happened to Louis? I need to find out. I can't wait to watch the next season or read the manga to find out. But maybe this isn't too nitpicky, but like, I feel like people dying in this world is the one place that really does not feel, not realistic. It doesn't feel like it fits. It feels like there's a disconnect between like how sad people should be about someone like Louis just disappearing and how it seems so matter of fact. And it seems like everyone's just moved on. They're like, oh, well, I guess Juno's here. Okay.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, let's talk about Juno.
Let's talk about how perfect she is.
Juno's so good.
She's so wonderful.
Let's talk about how my boyfriend and I are watching it and he was like, Juno looks a lot like Annie. So then I texted Annie and said, Juno looks a lot like you. And then Annie was like, I was just in the middle of talking to my friend about how hot Juno was. So
the highest
That's
compliment.
Not a lie. That really happened. Juno can get it.
Hell yeah. Yes. She's so good.
She's okay. I truly, as much as I love Haru and Legoshi and like their arc and their love, like Legoshi, Juno is right there and she's so fine. And
if we're going to talk about shipping, I need y'all to catch up with the manga. So I cannot. Oh, it's killing me. I don't want to spoil anything. But
no, wait, don't do it. I need Juno to be happy and thriving.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just need her to actually realize that she doesn't need Legoshi and she's fine on her own and she can be the B-star all by her damn self.
Yeah! Woo!
Sorry, Louie.
She's interesting because, like, at first I was like, oh, is she kind of like, okay, now Louie's clearly not a villain, but, like, maybe Juno kind of is. But then I was like, from her perspective, what Juno is trying to do to get Legoshi's attention isn't that different from Legoshi trying to get Haru's attention.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
They're in very similar positions.
Except she's just more confident.
And yeah. I was going to say, like, she's just honest with herself about it. She's like, oh, I like you. I'm going to tell you that I like you. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you to like me. And she just, like, tells him that. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because he's so oblivious after.
Because he's adorable.
He's so precious. Oh, he's so innocent that when the teacher was like, hey, all of Legoshi's roommates and friends, he hasn't come back yet. He's out with a white rabbit. This is immoral. He might do something impure. And then all his friends like were immediately like, no, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard.
I love the contrast between after like Juno has like, I forget if it's explicit or implicit, but like basically confessed to Legoshi. Legoshi still doesn't get when she's like trying to get him to like do the candle thing.
Yeah. But
in contrast to when like several episodes earlier before she gets kidnapped, when Legoshi is about to like try to confess to Haru and she 100% knows what he's about to do and is just like trying to divert the conversation. Yeah. And it reminded me of like shoujo manga scenes where it's like, oh, they really do love each other, but there's like miscommunication. So they don't know yet, whatever. And it was like, no, there's no miscommunication. She knows. And she's trying to divert it. Yeah. Like,
and she's trying to like, I mean, it's underhanded, but it's like brilliant. She's very much she's trying to win like the popular opinion. She wants as many people to like see her and Legoshi together as possible. It's like, damn girl, she's got like a 10-step plan for getting her man. It's incredible, like the diligence. it's interesting too that, you know, he saves her and, you know, sure, they're the same species and everything, but like she very much has a shoujo kind of setup where it's like, oh, this big mysterious senior like saves her from bullies and pretends to be her older brother, and it's like, ooh. Wow, we're playing the Tori Winkler card here, huh?
On the note of me complaining about I think it's all these all tie together in my mind that like I don't like the quick left turn into like Yakuza arc, and I don't like the fact that like Louis disappears and everyone, or when Tem is murdered and it's like, oh well, life is normal, we kind of miss him, but life is normal. And also on that note, when Haru's kidnapped at the park and then she just goes back to the park the next day, I was like, this should be like this should be a site of massive trauma. You shouldn't just go to the festival. like at some point, Legoshi's like, oh no, I hope she wasn't kidnapped again. And I was like, why is she in the situation again?
Yeah, like bro,
why is she alone?
Yeah. So I feel like that aspect of it doesn't feel as realistic or handle with as much nuance as the rest of the characterization and world building is. But it's kind of a testament to how well the rest of it is set up.
Yeah. Yes, it's beautiful. They did a great job. But okay, so before we wrap things up, we have some Twitter questions. We kind of already touched on this one, but at Lum Ranma Yasha asked, who do you feel is the most deserving of becoming the next B-star? And I already answered and I said Juno, but Tori, Jeff?
I want Jeff to go first.
Okay, I feel bad because now I feel like I'm saying many negative things in a row, but like another aspect of the show that I'm not sold on yet is the entire concept of the B-star.
I will just say, season one, like, you don't know what a B-star is. Like, right. They kind of say, they're like, oh, it's like the representative, but that's not correct.
I was most intrigued by the concept of the B-star when the mayor is talking to Louis and is like, well, I need to give you information because as a potential B-star, you might need this information. And I was like, oh shit, I'm really intrigued what the B-star is now.
Yeah.
It seems like it's not just like the most popular kid in class. That's what I thought it was up until that point.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is what they set it up as. And until that point, like, that is kind of what it seems like, you know, because it's just like, oh, Lewis, and then, oh, Juno. I don't want to, like, use any manga knowledge. I think Legoshi would be a cool B-star, but I don't think he would ever. He's just so meek, I can't see it. I would love Juno to be the B-star. In all honesty, like, because she is, you know, and she has her own reasons for wanting to be the B-star, you know, to make things better for carnivores and, you know, that mm-hmm. in it, like, she sees that as a noble cause. And, you know, that is, you know, she has a very clear set of ideals. She seems very willing to, like, do what it takes. She's hot. All great True. Qualities in an elected official, I guess.
Oh, I loved how they touched on that with the mayor. And mm-hmm. he's like, I had like plastic surgery to make me look yeah. kinder oh, yeah. and had all my fangs replaced with like dentures.
With like human teeth.
Yes, it was so weird.
Awful. Yeah.
Okay, I thought that like detail was a really cool detail. Also, when he was like, I've been living my entire life to get to this point, I was like, he's Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, Jeff, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is canceled.
Terrible.
He lived his whole life to be a mayor.
Well, no, I just mean like the way it was like, I don't know, I guess Pete Buttigieg is already irrelevant now, but like the way it was mm-hmm. like, oh, his entire story is just way too convenient. And it's like, yeah. everything he's done has been leading to this moment. And it's like, but he's not calculating. It's just, you know, like he's mild mannered and like, you know, he was very Pete Buttigieg.
Oh my God.
I wonder if anyone a year from now will even remember who Pete Buttigieg is. So
hopefully yeah. not.
He's been lost to the ages.
We talked a lot in the first impressions episode about the like the just the way the anime is directed, and now that I see more of it, like I'm really, really sold on the whole split panel, like zooming on their faces while they're talking technique.
Oh, I love that.
I'm really just baffled why it's not a more common technique, because it seems so smart for like it's similar to how manga panels are framed. It gives you the attention, it gives you detail of their faces, and like, I don't know, it just seems like so simple, so effective, mm-hmm. and I was like, it can't be this easy, right? There has to be a reason people don't do it.
Well, I like that they show, like, you can see someone's reaction to what's being said immediately, yeah. and I feel like for, like, suspense or some other reason, sometimes they don't want to show the other person's reaction.
Well, I think it also takes a lot more, you need like a lot more masterful animation direction to like, because if you're timing both of the characters' faces in unison, that's really mm-hmm. difficult. So that's probably a reason why they don't do it that often in normal anime, because like that just takes so much more coordination. And like if you are animating two different characters, like I feel like in anime I'm used to like one character says a thing and then once their line's over, then other people react. And like then you can mm-hmm. split up those two characters to be drawn by different people and different processes and stuff. And like, so I don't know how they managed animating mm-hmm. two characters in unison and having their facial reaction, you know, reacting live, basically, or like syncing them up. Mm-hmm. They did a great job.
Yeah. Project Orange actually has a really interesting tweet thread on Twitter where they go through like basically the design elements of creating the models, like from sketch to like creating the model, and then how they make the faces work and like express and everything. But definitely recommend looking it up if you're interested, because it's really, really cool. And it's interesting to have that come like from the studio itself and be like, yeah, look at like our rig for Legoshi. And, you know, and then they adapted his facial rig to other characters and stuff. It's super cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing that like, they're like, oh yeah, we start with Legoshi. And then like we started because Legoshi's gonna have the most face time that we like wanted to mm-hmm. make sure we could, you know, emote him really well. And then we just like developed everyone else as like a version of Legoshi. So like mm-hmm. all the characters are born from Legoshi under the hood. And I was like, oh, that's cute. He spawned everyone.
The progenitor.
Okay. And we also got another Twitter question from Adam at Talazy Artist, who said, what animal species deserves more screen time in season 2?
Jack. The Jack. Dog. I love the roommates. I think they're very funny. And I want more scenes with them.
I love them. I would like to see... Okay, so I fell in love with Alba, the eagle that went on the outing with Legoshi oh, yeah. and Bill. And yeah. he was like, I couldn't do it when I thought of my friends. I couldn't eat that old man's finger, which is like a gross sentence. But I yeah. I was like, oh, I love you. And I want to see more of you.
Yeah, that was like his only line.
So sweet. Yeah. He's just a good boy.
But well, he like confronted Legoshi. He's like, if we were on campus, I'd be on your side. But you got to understand we're carnivores. And then later on, he's like, just kidding. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm actually a very sweet boy.
I'm actually very sweet. And I love that Legoshi was like, wow. Like, his, like, beak is so beautiful.
Legoshi's so horny for everyone he's ever met.
It's so good.
This poor boy has terminal, like, falling in love disease. Where someone will do something nice and he's just like, oh my god, you're the most beautiful human being I've ever the most beautiful animal I've ever seen in my whole life. I love the way the moonlight shines off your beak.
Shut up.
So dramatic. I love
it. It was so good. Maybe I just fell in love with Alba because Legoshi did.
Yeah.
But he was so good. And okay, yeah, Legoshi does fall in love with anyone because he's like, looking at Juno, I can see that the gray wolf is a beautiful animal. And yeah. I was like, damn.
And then like, but just Rui always. I have my own question for you two.
Yes.
I need your best boy rankings. Who are your top three best boys in order?
Top three best boys from order from best to least best?
Do least best, the worst boy to the best boy.
Ah, but they're all still good boys.
Third best boy is still a good boy.
Exactly. Yes. They're all great boys.
Okay.
See, that's why the canine room is so powerful. Because they're all just so good. They're great boys.
I think my third best boy is, and I think I come around to I am voting for him for B-Star, Louis. Like I don't think he's not the bestest boy, but I do think he's the best B-Star. And I think he's really grown on me. And I think he like has noble aspirations and has complex nuance and is not just a villain. He has some anger management issues, but like he could really lead the society. And then second, I would put Jack because he's just a good boy.
Yeah.
And Legoshi's best boy. No choice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Does Gohin count as a boy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he's okay. Then maybe he's third. Shit. Legoshi, I think, is my best boy.
He's
so
too powerful. Yeah.
But I can't. I want to put someone in second who's either. I want either Louis or Jack. And I want to say Louis just because we get more content from him, but Jack's just like a better boy.
Jack's so good.
Sorry, Louis.
Jack, like, whenever he's on screen, he's being a good boy.
Yeah. When they're sitting in the pool and Legoshi's been like just losing his mind, he's like, oh my God, I'm so tortured. Everything is terrible. And then Jack immediately is like, oh, are you like upset about that acting thing? And he's like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, oh my God, he just knew. He's so good. He's there to comfort his friend. They're doing some like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia shit by sitting in a empty pool. I love them.
Know, he always like notes. He's like, oh, you always have your egg sandwiches on Wednesdays. I'm like, Jack, they're so good.
It's such a... That was a weird aside, but it was my boyfriend. It was his favorite part. He was like, why don't we get more of that? That was the best part of the show. So
the chicken with the eggs.
Yeah. Yes. That character is who, Peru Itagaki, when they do, like interviews and stuff, they wear what's the character's name? I'm totally blanking.
Isn't it Lego? Cause they're sitting next to
Legoshi. Yes, Legom. Legom? No.
Legom,
I'm thinking Legume. That's but they wear like a legume, basically like mask. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's so funny. I loved her. She was like, I'm exercising for my eggs for my part-time job. And I was like, you know what, girl, you do you.
Yeah, that's one of those instances where I was like, at that point in the show, I was still trying to wrestle, like, is everything in the show a metaphor? Like, is there like, you know, are we supposed to interpret each like race to mean something in a direct one-to-one metaphor? And then there was like a whole subplot about a girl selling her eggs to the school lunch. And I was like, nope, no, never mind. It's just, it just is.
Yeah, it's just a fun aside of, you know, she's like, I have a lot of pride.
I love that. Wow, maybe we should just get more chicken content in season two. Only hens all the time.
Yeah. I also had a problem. I loaded the Twitter questions, but I kept getting distracted by just watching the gif of Legoshi with the sparkly
shoujo. He looks so handsome.
Yeah.
When he was teaching Juno, like the dance moves, I was like, oh, we all love Legoshi.
Yeah. It's,
they wanted us to fall in love with all these sparkles floating around him.
Yeah. He's too powerful.
He's too sweet, too good. Yeah. Okay.
He's incredible.
I don't want to be too horny, so maybe we should stop.
we gotta rein it in.
They did a really animate that sexual scene though very well.
Annie, you just said.
I know. I was just, okay, it was good because it wasn't, they didn't get that far in the manga. So it was like a surprise to me. And I was like, wow, he's being very gentle with her.
Oh, no, they do.
Oh, in the manga, they just get to the part where he's trying to confess. And then it's a cliffhanger.
I was going
to
complain that I don't understand the mechanics of how there's a scene where Legoshi is like on top of her. And they're like, okay, I guess we're not going to do this. And then her is like, are you sure though? Because like, and looks down and is like, I feel bad because you have that. And he's like, oh, don't worry, it'll go away on its own. And then like 3 or 4 seconds later, they show us his crotch and it's just normal. Like it's like nothing.
It went away.
So, okay.
But I assume something was like out of his pants and his pants were just fully closed.
No.
Oh, you thought it was just a bulge?
Mm-hmm.
Can I spoil one thing from the manga?
Yes.
Canonically, Haru has not seen Legoshi's dick.
Oh, okay. Lit. Okay. Wait, did you say lit?
Yeah.
There's a whole chapter that is her basically being like, I have not seen your penis and I want to see it.
This is the best series ever created.
If they have retconned and now Haru has seen his penis, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
No,
oh my God.
I think that clarifies it. It was just a bulge. Now we know. Yeah. We have the canonical answer. Wow.
When Juno is sniffing Haru and she's like, oh, you didn't have sex with him. Anyways,
wait,
bye.
Wait, I hate that. I hate that.
It's hilarious.
Okay, because they were holding each other. Like, he was holding her for a while. So, like, if it's about just smelling his scent on her, he should have his scent on her. But is it that,
pheromones.
There would probably be some other smells.
I was like, can he smell her? Can she smell his semen?
Ew. No, it's probably, like a chemical thing. Or, like, a pheromone.
Yeah, and, Legoshi can smell freaking everything. So it's safe to assume, I would think, that Juno also has like crazy good smelling and I guess knows what sex smells like. So that's exciting.
She knows what those sex pheromones are and she is gonna find out. I was screaming. I was like, get her, Juno. Even though I love Haru, I'm very torn. I just am rooting for Juno also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get gifs of that scene. I don't know, it's like middle of the show or so when Legoshi's sniffing Louis, but it's like very horny for like a couple seconds and then Louis just pushes him aside and is like kind of homophobic and I was like, no, I'm not cute anymore.
Well, he just pushes him because he's smelling him. It doesn't necessarily have to be gay panic.
No, yeah, I don't think it actually was. It was just like, you're a carnivore smelling me. This is a little creepy.
Well, he also probably was just like, oh no, he can smell that I was just macking on Haru.
Yeah. I don't like, one thing I don't like about Louis, I don't like that he, as soon as he hears that like Haru and Legoshi are talking, is like suddenly thinks that they're sleeping together. I feel like he doesn't really respect her.
I think he loves her.
Yeah. I think he's upset by it, and the thought of it is like he's just jumping to like the worst case scenario in his head real quick.
But that seems like shitty, abusive boyfriend behavior to be like, my girl talked to another guy. Are they sleeping together?
Well, no. Well, she also has a track record of sleeping with anyone who walks into that room.
That is like, I can't totally fault him when like that is what she tried to do as soon as he walked in. So
yeah, she's like, well, I guess you're here. I guess we'll do it. And then like, I think it's like fair for Louis to assume that like Legoshi and Haru have been together, but I also think he came to the conclusion that they didn't. He's like, oh, okay, they haven't.
Yeah,
Legoshi, I think they both have, like, Legoshi has he doesn't understand what's going on and like puts her on a pedestal.
Maybe
like, so he hasn't really considered, or like he takes a while to get to the conclusion that maybe they've done stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he realizes until she grabs him and calls him Louis.
Yeah.
Oh, that his heart was shredded into pieces.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, I forgot there was actually the earlier scene where he watches and he squeezes the paint. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Broke
He's a
me.
Jealous boy.
He is. He's like, this is the moment I realized I loved her. And I was like, oh God.
That shit hurt.
That shit hurted.
That, and that's like the other thing is like, I want them all to be happy. This sucks.
Yeah.
Oh no. They're all hurting each other. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's very good. And I love it. And I'm sticking by my verdict to love it. And I'd recommend it to most people.
Yeah.
If I know they won't be scared by how horny it is.
Yeah, I think my only hesitation about it is that, like, it's incomplete. Like, this first season is a good standalone story, but it's not the whole story. So, like, I want more. And you might be annoyed once you finish the first season and you're like, where's more? But
it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, right. Like, so, good show.
Yeah.
I'm glad I picked it.
And Tori? You've been recommending it, so I'm assuming you're still sticking with that.
Absolutely recommend it. Definitely. Like, thinking about it now, I'm like, you know, if you recommend it to someone and they do watch it, you then just both have to reconcile the fact that you did watch a wolf boy almost get a blowjob. So you're just like, well, this is just a moment in our friendship now.
We have to talk about this.
Yeah, you don't talk about it. You never talk about it, but you're like, we've both seen the show. But yeah, I think it's great. I love the manga too, but the anime, like, greatly exceeded my expectations. Because, I mean, coming from the manga, I was like, how the heck are they gonna do this? Because it's dense. And I think they did a really great job. And it, like, is, I mean, it's just, like, fun and interesting to watch. It's a delight. And also very stressful.
Well, it's decided. We love it. It's a great show. Everyone, please watch it.
Yeah. If you listened this far in and you didn't think this was the conclusion.
Fools.
I have one more question. One final question. And then I promise we can be done.
Yes.
I just saw this on Twitter with the four other people that like B-Stars I follow. Netflix actually tweeted like yesterday, what's your B-Stars animal? Just say persona. It's 2020. What are your Beastars animals? What, if you were in Beastars, what animal would you be?
Oh, okay. So what's my persona?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, damn. This is hard.
You can think about it as an Animal Crossing villager too. Just like what would you ascribe to yourself personality-wise?
Oh, I see. I didn't realize, Tori. I thought you were saying Netflix said what's your Beastars animal and you were saying just say persona. I didn't realize Netflix themselves were like, just say persona.
Yeah, Netflix was just like, yeah, it's a persona.
Oh my God.
They just said it. Yeah. They're so brave.
Maybe I would be, I don't know, I really like Sheila, the cheetah girl, but that's not me.
Can I make a suggestion for you, Annie?
Yes.
I think you would be a red panda.
I love that.
Like, that way you can still be in love with Goheen, and it's cool.
Yes.
You're still very cute and tiny.
Thank you.
Run around a lot, and you're the most popular exhibit at the zoo.
Wow. All right. I'm a red panda. Thanks for my persona.
But yeah, I'm just assigning personas now. Jeff, who would you be?
I have no idea. I haven't thought about this. Are there any just like not like lions or like more dramatic forms, but just like cats in Beastars?
Oh, you think you would be a carnivore?
Wait, are cats? Oh, I guess they
cats,
are.
Huh? Yeah, cats are carnivores.
I want the most lazy, like, animal that sleeps the most. I guess that'd be a sloth.
Yeah.
A sloth, yeah. Or a turtle. Mm. You have some turtle energy. You seem wise. You always talk about stuff I don't understand, so that tracks.
Oh my God, turtle energy. Yeah. What if?
Wait, there is a sloth and Beastars. Holger?
Is there?
Yeah.
It's on the wiki.
Remember.
There's Juno's roommate who she had to carry to the bathroom, remember?
No, I don't.
No.
Oh, Juno was like, sorry, I'm late. My roommate's a sloth and they had a bathroom emergency, so I had to carry them there. Because they can't get there fast enough. And everyone's like, what? Oh, Juno, you're so sweet. And I was like, yeah, she really is. Or she's lying, but I think she really is sweet.
Because she wouldn't be in a room with a sloth. Because all the they're all according to different, like what genus you are or whatever.
Well, maybe she just saw a sloth who had a bathroom emergency. Or she's lying, but who knows.
There is a sloth in Beastars. I'm remembering now. He's a plot point.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look forward
to
that.
I looked it up, and then the giant armadillo sleeps 18 hours a day.
Ooh. big mood.
Yeah.
Yes. So maybe that's your persona. It's an armadillo.
I'm looking if there's an armadillo in Beastars. No, I don't see any.
Oh, damn.
Sad. Oh, there's I think there's an anteater. But yeah.
There is an anteater. I remember him. All right. Tori, what's your fursona?
I don't know. I feel like I have big rodent energy. like a chipmunk or a hamster or something.
Oh my god, you have to be a hamster.
Yeah, this is just my hamtaro sona all over again.
Yeah, you just have my ham sona.
They seem so hard to it seems so hard for them to live with the full sized animals, or they're not full, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're so small.
Like, they have to have little doors and like walk along the edge of the hallway.
It is very cute though. Just have a little smaller door next to the real one.
Oh my god, I love it.
It's great.
Oh my god, is there a sexy horse?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, he's not in the show yet. There is a sexy horse.
Oh boy.
Okay. Just wait. Can't wait for the sexy horse.
We have to end this before we get too horny for these horses.
Horny again.
Jeff's now, looking up.
Now that we have our government assigned fursonas, let's wrap it up.
Wait, Annie, I need you to see how horny he is.
Please, I don't. Oh my god.
Spoilers. I love him. He's an asshole. He's great.
Okay, Jeff, wrap this up.
Before we wrap the show, I wanted to go around and have each of us plug something that's non-animated we've been enjoying recently and we think people should check out. So, Tori, do you want to start off?
Well, I just started the Boruto manga. It's really good. Black Clover is great. I also just finished Void Burger's Silent Hill 3 Let's Play. I really love horror games. And she did a really great job kind of breaking down Silent Hill. And it's the last episode, I think, comes out on Wednesday. And it's really cool. If you're looking for something to watch that is terrifying for a different reason, watch that. It's cool.
Cool.
All right. Jeff, what about you?
I'm going to recommend The Magician Season 5, which I have not seen all of. I'm only about halfway through. I think it's all out now. But The Magician is a show. I think it's the final season. And it's a show that I've been conflicted about. I really did not like the first season, and I feel like I've gotten weighed down by the plot. Is kind of feels like it goes off in random directions, and I feel like I'm just, at this point, I'm like, so much has happened, I can't keep track of it all. But that always throughout has dealt with really interesting concepts, and just even if I haven't followed if the plot has felt too convoluted or whatever, it's still there's always in each episode some at least three or five different nuggets of ideas that are oh my god, that's just a cool concept. And I just watched an episode where it was the culmination of a half season arc about grief and loss that culminated in having to murder whales to release the Kraken so that the moon wouldn't collapse on Earth. And it was
what?
The show is wild.
some very bold choices.
And that was to resolve a Groundhog Day time loop. It's okay. It's wild. All of that, that plotting for why they need to do it made perfect sense.
I don't like this.
it's so bizarre and so interesting and so good. Oh, so yeah, go check out The Magician Season 5.
But just Season 5, none of the other seasons.
Well, it's what recently aired, yeah. Annie, what do you want to recommend?
I'm finally catching up on Steven Universe Future, part of Steven Universe, and it is breaking my heart.
I'm scared to start it.
It's actually very emotionally hard. But it's good, so.
I watched a batch of episodes that came out a couple months ago, and then, the newer batch that started, I don't know, several weeks ago. I haven't started yet, but I've seen, such polarized reactions. I felt like the first part wasn't that emotionally devastating. So I'm where does it go? I'm scared.
Steven has to go to therapy, okay? He's gone through a lot, and they're finally addressing it.
Wow.
They're finally addressing that the entire first show, just Steven Universe, was all just trauma for Steven. But all right, great. We recommended things. Please watch Steven Universe Future. All right, Tori, well, thank you for providing us with your always correct opinions on our podcast.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. This is really fun.
This was fun. If you liked this episode, please send us feedback at loveitorweebit@gmail.com or tweet at us at loveitorweebit. You can also find me on Twitter at any other name.
And I am Jeffling Jeff on Twitter. And I also, this past week, revived my long dormant Digimon podcast because there is a new season of Digimon, a reboot of Digimon Adventure. And I was very unsure if it was going to be simulcast and if it was going to be good. And last minute, it was picked up by Crunchyroll. It is being simulcast, and it is really good. So far, there's only one episode out, and we don't know how many episodes are going to be. And I'm kind of worried that it's only going to be 12 episodes. But so far, it's on track to be really exciting.
It's the original Digimon crew, right?
Yeah,
it's
the original kids.
Cast of characters.
exciting. It's like, I think it's both accessible to new people because it has like really great production values. It's like better than most toy animated stuff in the past like decade, I think. And it's like better than any Digimon animation has been before. And it's wild. But it's also, so I think it's accessible to new people, but also for returning fans who have seen the original adventure, it's like doing crazy stuff with like, it's very different. And it seems like it's on a trajectory to be extremely different. And I'm like, this is really exciting. So anyway, that's that podcast is Podigious. So go check that out.
And Tori, where can we find you?
I am on Twitter at ToriWink, ToriWink. Yay.
Lit. Thanks, Tori. Thanks for talking to us about Beastars.
Of course.
Yeah.
If anyone else wants to talk to me about Beastars, tweet me, please. I'm always down.
So stay tuned next week because we're going to be doing our season lineup draft episode. We're going to pick what shows we're going to cover for the next season. And I'm really excited because there's some pretty interesting stuff.
Ooh. Yeah, hopefully spring's better than winter.
Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, I can't believe I ate the whole anime. Okay, Annie, are you recording in Skype?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're not Annie. You're hot for Juno.
Yes. Listen, I tried to say Juno's number one fan and it wouldn't let me, so I had to change it.
My notes got overtaken. My Beastars notes got overtaken. Now it's just filled with pictures of Animal Crossing villagers.
Oh my God.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I'm so ashamed of you. For your actions today.
A shame that I didn't have an answer.
Getting the will of the people. It's a coward's way.
Yeah. For one, making this the question.
Yeah, that also.
Okay. I think it's okay because I didn't like any of the responses people gave me, so all trash.
Oh my God, a fool. A fool.
I wasn't swayed by the public opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's because none of the Animal Crossing villagers are sexual objects. I don't desire them.
Yeah, can we also change it from sexy to hot?
Yeah,
I don't want to say sexy. Hot is fine.
Okay, let's make it hot.
Okay, I'm changing it.
The hottest Animal Crossing villager, which I still don't love, but it's a little better. Because then we can slowly delve into being furries.
Okay, well, hottest could be like most popular.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
so,
fine
like,
too.
You have plausible deniability. If someone's like, I have this clip.
I'm going to say the thottest Animal Crossing villager.
Do not say the thottest.
The thickest Animal Crossing villager.
Okay.
You both ready to start?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Let's do it. Wow. I'm just going to make Animal Crossing noises now. Yeah. I mean, you will be after you watch it. That's just, it's a fact.
Yeah. So strap in.
Do fursuits count as a mask when we're walking,
yes,
when we're outside?
They do. Please, everyone get full fursuits.
Everyone go to, get those like Hot Topic teeth masks that they had back in the day where it was the fabric mask and it had like a mouth on it.
Oh, they still sell those.
Or
we gotta go.
The big fur hats with the mitten hands. Wrap it around your face a couple times. There you go.
Well, this is the solution to the mask shortage. Everyone becomes a furry. We solved it.
We solved the problem.
Honestly, the furry community is probably keeping a lot of artists afloat at the moment.
That's true.
They're very generous. I am really revealing myself here. Please don't put this in the tweet promoting the episode, but I have commissioned a furry artist before. Not for fur stuff, but for like, I got like custom Sonic the Hedgehog charms made.
Oh my God.
Psycho. And they were the most pleasant people to work with. They were very nice, very quick. I truly enjoyed working with them. Furry artists have my utmost respect. Because that's hard. Drawing, like, animals is hard.
Especially making them sexy.
I didn't ask them to make Sonic sexy. I was like, he's my baby boy. Don't
do that.
Objectify him.
Annie, what's your persona?
Shit.
It's shit? That's not that's not an animal.
Well, it's how I feel.
Rito Maneko, that's my other one. That's my other recommendation no one ever listens to. So Rito Maneko.
we'll be sorry in like a few years when we realize that you were right all along.
I've always been right. Every opinion I've ever had has been correct. Why won't anyone listen to me?
We heard you talk about Black Clover.
Yeah, we heard that. So we don't know about that.
Black Clover is good. Oh my God. All right, cowards.
Yeah, we're just too scared to like Black Clover. That's why we can't like it.
That is why we hate
it. Don't talk about Black Clover on your anime podcast. Don't do that. Start a second podcast for manga, and then we can talk about Black Clover.
And as we always say, I can't believe I ate the whole anime.
Nope, don't like that one. It does fit, but I don't like that one. Jeff.
Wait, Tori, what do you want to recommend for next season?
Oh, isn't that Atome Game Villainous anime happening? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do that.
Jeff's going to make me watch that.
Hell yeah. I remember hearing about that like years ago because I play a lot of Atome games and someone was like, there's this manga where, because like the archetype of the villainess of an Atome game is so funny. So they're like, yeah, it's like a light novel series or something. I was like, oh, hell yeah. I don't think it's available legally anywhere, but now that there's an anime, please watch it.
Maybe.
I hope it's good.
Oh, the anime's so good.
For Kakariko?
Yeah.
I love it. Annie, how have we never talked about Kakariko?
I don't know. It's so good. I binged it all in like a weekend. I felt so alive.
What series are you talking about?
It's so homey.
Kakariko Bed and Breakfast for Spirits.
What is this?
It's so good. It's like a good isekai.
Yeah. But it's not literally gross. Just like a college girl ends up betrothed to a demon guy, like an ogre, but he's hot.
Yeah.
And then she just goes to live in the spirit world, but she's like, I don't want to marry you, so I'm going to make money and I'm going to have a cute little bed and breakfast.
She's like, I'll pay off the debt. Don't worry.
Yeah. And the food is really good. And there's this whole like subplot where like, a mysterious Ayakashi like saved her when she was a child, so she's been trying to find him, and it's like, ooh, which one of the like 10 beautiful boys is the one who saved her?
Oh no, this sounds really good.
They're hot, so and the good. Food looks so good. It makes it's yes. like watching a food show where it's like, I'm just really hungry afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It's like a gourmet isekai.
Yeah.
And that's also like a reverse harem, I guess.
Yeah, it's very sweet too. And there's dog boys.
Hell yeah.
Who also can become hot women. I'm like, hell yeah. It's loud.
Oh yeah, they can.
Wait, what? They just like
transition? He can transform. He takes like the shape of whatever like the most comforting person is. So like sometimes he'll just be like a hot, beautiful woman that you can sit in the lap of. And it's like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Or he's like a child, if that makes you more comfortable.
Yeah. If he's trying to like get away with something, he'll be a little baby. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, I wish that were me.
Same.
It's good. Watch Kakariko. Also, the openings slap. They're so good.
Wow, Tori, we are in sync on this. We love Kakariko.
Okay, before I turn off Zencaster, Annie, I need you to say something like mic drop worthy.
Why? Oh, so you have something for the beginning instead of just a random out of context? For the end?
Like, I feel like normally there are like 10 instances of you threatening to murder me per episode, and I don't think you do that in once this episode.
No, I don't think so, because I think we're too busy being horny.
Ain't that just the way?
Yeah, I think you were the one being problematic for once, for the whole episode. So.
I was being too problematic to threaten you with death. Listen, they animated Legoshi fondling Haru really well, and that's all I could think of. I was super distracted.
Yeah, I did not like that. That was the one instance where the show got like too had much. Typical anime grossness. Yeah. But I guess it was for a purpose.
None of us mentioned Lewis's dump truck ass, his like giant butt. And I kept myself from saying, they're also all in high school, because we keep talking about how horny it is. But they are just really
we
horny.
Don't bring that up. Don't bring that up. Sorry.
I didn't.
They're animals. That's too absurd for me to reconcile with what's being said out of my
And they're
mouth.
Hot. It's terrible. Yeah,
and Annie, you have like shamed me and other people for so much for like finding My Hero Academia characters hot. And now you're like, oh, but if My Hero Academia characters put on a fursuit. Mm.
That'd be different.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be people.
Oh my God.
Listen, animals don't live as long. These are adults.
Oh
my God. Yeah, it's like dog years.
Yeah. Jack's gonna go soon.
If this was 90210 or, you know, what's another Saved by the Bell, they would all be played by 30-year-olds. Legoshi's like 7 feet tall and very hot, and I want to kiss him. I want to smooch Legoshi so bad. Woo!
I was going to say, when you were recommending how, what's that, Kakuryo, like yeah, seeing all the food just makes you hungry. I was like, Annie watching Beastars just makes you hungry.
Seeing all these stars.
Oh my God. All right, we're done. I'm done doing this.
Okay.